a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living that is exactly what makes them extra to me. And I'm very excited for you to meet them. So a little bit of a spoiler alert here for any first-time listeners to Manna. But as regular listeners know, at the end of every episode, we ask our guests, just like we're going to be asking today's guest, the same three questions as part of what we creatively like to call our fun segment. Okay, because you know, whatever preceded it was not fun for anybody. Just kidding. Anyway, one of those questions asks if you could give one piece of advice to a younger man, you know, somebody further upstream, as we like to say, about living a confident, humble, holy life of faith, what would that one piece of advice be? Well, today's guest is not only going to be able to answer that question figuratively. He's actually already answered it very, very far upstream and literally. And when I say literally, I mean literally, literally. Like he wrote a book about it. Okay, he's the author of a book called "Children of the Great Light," a children's book written and illustrated to, and I'm quoting here, to present healthy spiritual concepts that affirm a positive self-image and view of the divine, end quote. Oh, I love that. And while some of the big words, even in that sentence right there that I just read, make a lot of sense to adults like us, today's guest intentionally steered clear of confusing, dogma and heavy religious language in this book for reasons that we're going to find out in a little bit, but ultimately in service to the young. And I would also bet in service to some of the old reading that book to their young. But he's also a devoted husband of 40 years and a father and a grandfather himself. So he knows from what he speaks and writes. And in addition to his writing, he's spending his second chapter, if you will, as a bit of a serial entrepreneur who founded Generous Vision, which helps people achieve their philanthropic and legacy objectives, of which he's very expertly qualified after a successful career in financial planning. And he also helped found EquityVest, which is the first faith-driven FINRA-registered equity crowdfunding portal. I don't exactly know what FINRA means, but that sounds very official. So we've got a very pedigreed guest here today. I'll say this again at the close of our show, but you can find more about his book and the charitable work behind the book at childrenofthegreatlight.com. Okay, so please welcome today's Manna Man, Mr. Wayne McDaniel. Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for that amazing introduction.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and I can't wait to hear all about you and your own upbringing and your own influences, you know, around faith, which I'm sure influenced a lot of the work that you're doing today. But that's actually where I'd like to start. I'd love to start off with the book, and just let's jump right into the deep end. When did you get the inspiration to write it?
I think it was about 2.5 or 3 years ago, and there's actually a story behind it if you want me to tell you that.
Yeah.
Sure. I was driving home from St. Louis going down I-70 through Missouri, and I was thinking about a couple of books that I've written or had in my mind to write for adults, but I got to thinking, how do you get shelf space with that? And my mind wandered on. I thought about my grandkids. And then eventually those thoughts kind of merged. I thought, I could write a book to kids communicating to them the most important spiritual ideas that I have. Or not necessarily that I have, but that I think are important for people to have. So that's kind of where it was born. And in fact, There's three stories in the book, and the first story was written in my head on the way back on that highway.
Well, and I love, I've had a chance to read the book, actually, and I love how it's broken up into this three kind of, not really chapters, they're almost like they're bigger than chapters. They're these almost movements. Like if it was a piece of music, you'd have, you know, so you have the beginnings, then you have the light of the world, and then I was with you. So tell us about how that construct kind of came to you versus kind of I'd say like a traditional children's book that we've both read to our own kids that just sort of have a once upon a time and then the end. How did you come up with that kind of that three movement organizing principle?
Well, when I was driving the car and wrote the first story called Beginnings in my head, I knew there were going to be three stories. And originally, and I don't know why I knew that, I just knew that I needed to do three and publish all three at the same time. Although originally I was going to do three separate books. And then I decided I might as well combine them into one, mostly so that people feel like they're getting their money's worth because they're not long stories. And so that's just, I don't know why it just came to me. There needs to be three.
It's great. It's great. You know, the book is so, the language you use very on purpose is so accessible for young listeners, young readers. I mean, you really, you know, like I mentioned in the intro, you really make sure people don't get hung up into a lot of the language that I think, and like this podcast talks about some of that, sometimes that language, it just intimidates people. You know, they feel like, I don't know enough about theology or the Bible, or whatever, to be able to even engage in conversation. How has the reaction been from people who do maybe come from a more kind of traditional, organized or faith tradition? You know, do they appreciate, you know, kind of the means justifying the ends kind of a thing, which is what you're doing here? Or do you run into any, you know, sort of like furrowed brow, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, are you greeted with skepticism or appreciation for the approach that you're taking with your young readers?
Well, from my Christian friends, I would say it's been mixed. And let me say why, just so your audience knows for sure. I don't use any religious language in the book. I don't even use the word God. I use light as a metaphor for God. And so I've had, you know, some people saying, well, I think you need to be a little more direct. You know, why don't you say something about Jesus? And actually, there is a Jesus figure in one of the stories, but I don't call him that. But others have said, oh, this is great. In fact, I want to get this for my daughter and her grandkids. I wrote the book for parents of young children who probably used to go to church, but now they don't go to church. But now they got little kids and they're thinking, well, I ought to teach them something about God, but I'm not even sure what I believe anymore. And so that's who my audience is. And it's really written as much and probably even more for the parents than for the kids.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a backdoor way to get to them.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I joked about it in the intro, but that was actually my next question. I was wondering, you know, what kind of response are you getting from adults? Because yeah, I would imagine that exact phenomena is happening where, you know, in service to their kids or grandkids, they're actually being, you know, reminded or maybe recalling, it maybe speaking to something that is missing in their life as well.
Yeah, from my friends who, or people who have bought the book who are not Christian or they're kind of on the edge somewhere, it's been very positive from them. It's like, Wow. In fact, somebody told me they gave the book to their sister for her kids. And they said her sister cried reading the book. So it really touched her.
That's wonderful. Well, another way that you're touching lives through this book, Wayne, is through the charitable endeavor that is behind it. And you have a long history. I did my homework on you, Wayne. So I know you have a long history of charitable giving with your, you know, with your prior financial practice and the donations that you made there. But talk about where the proceeds of this book are going, and then a little bit of obviously this is part of the Wayne McDaniel DNA here. So where does that come from?
Well, I have two charities that the profits are going to be going to once I get profits. hopefully I'll get profits, but it's a little ways off still. One of them is Zoe International, which is an amazing Christian ministry, which the founder of it was an African who thought there needs to be an African solution to the orphan problem. Mm-hmm. And she came up with an approach, and I'm not going to share that with you, but it's an unbelievable approach. So that's Zoe International. And the other half goes to CASA, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate, which are volunteers like my wife and I who work with foster kids as their advocate. So we report to the courts and basically we advocate for their children to make sure the child's needs and desires are heard and not glossed over or missed.
That's fantastic. Those are both just wonderful things to support. And what I also appreciate about those specific organizations is they're not totally mainstream. You know, I think there's in the overall sort of polyarchy of giving, I think it's great when folks like yourself are finding areas, I don't want to call them niche areas, because anybody they're serving is not a niche in anything. But I just think it's wonderful that you're identifying some areas that maybe wouldn't be as familiar to others. You've done this great work, that you've produced this great book in service of not only the kids, but you know, their parents and grandparents. What about your upbringing? What was it like growing up in the McDaniel household when you were younger? I mean, were you surrounded by a faith tradition, or I mean, I'm sure obviously role models. You had great role models, but tell us a little bit about kind of how you grew up and where your sort of faith, the divine influence, where was that coming to you when you were at the age that you are now writing for?
Well, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. And was, I guess, nominally a Christian until about, well, sometime in high school, I really became more serious about my relationship with God. And then I met somebody who just kind of broke my paradigms. Now, I think you might find this to be a little bit interesting because I think you're Catholic. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I met on a summer job a Catholic charismatic, and I was in a conservative Presbyterian church, and I didn't even know Catholics could be Christians.
Well, I was going to say, wait, a Catholic charismatic sounds like an oxymoron to me, but please go on.
We became good friends, and through my relationship with him, I became involved in the Catholic charismatic movement back in the 70s. and was baptized in the Holy Spirit and went to Oral Roberts University. And so I was immersed in conservative, charismatic expression of faith throughout my latter teens and really on into the rest of my life. But it was the generosity aspect of my life really was founded from my mother-in-law. After I got married to my wife, Judy, a few years later, her mother came to live with us because she basically gave away everything. Whatever came in, she'd give it away. She was a wonderful Christian person. I don't mean that she was irresponsible with it. She didn't have that much, but she didn't hold on to what she had. Yeah. And so she taught me about generosity and giving and thinking about other people and trying to make a difference in their life. So I think that's where that idea came from.
That's great. No, that's a wonderful, wonderful influence. What about since this is manna and we talk about guys and kind of trying to get our brothers out there as sort of muscled up around faith and recognition of that. Were there any men at those formative ages stages that were particularly influential? It sounds like this friend, the charismatic Catholic, was a little bit of a unicorn. but were there any other guys that you can think of that were particularly influential?
Well, I had a pastor in our church that we went to for several years as an adult I wouldn't say we were close friends, but he just had a way about him that communicated positivity and he was always like trying to listen to the Spirit and he was a part-time pastor. He had a full-time job as a plumber and he would tell stories about, you know, how he was on some job and he felt like the Spirit wanted him to do something or rather, and he did it. And then the outcome was just amazing. And so I would say he was an inspiration to me.
That's great. So you got one book, you know, kind of under the belt, if you will. What's next? Will there be more books, more speaking? What when we check in here in a couple of years with you? Because now I know where you are. So you're on the list. what's next for Children of the Great Light or beyond?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not entirely certain. This year, I'm going to focus really on marketing this book. I do have another children's book kind of in my head, but it's very ethereal right now. I have a couple of adult books that I may finish and get published. But mostly, I just want to see what opportunities open up in promoting this book. And that's about as far forward as I'm looking right now.
Well, I think that's enough. As you know, as we've all heard the saying, you know, God gives us a flashlight, not a Klieg lighter, not a spotlight. So
right.
Just use a little flashlight and I think you'll know what that next step is. All right. Well, hey, we are already, time flies here. So we are already at the fun segment of the big show. And if you didn't know already, you already know what one of the questions is going to be here, Wayne. So this is a segment where we ask the same three questions of every guest and see what they have to say to close us off here. So the first question, fun segment question number one, if Jesus knocked on your door there, your Kansas door tomorrow morning and just wanted to hang out for the day. Okay. You got a whole day with Jesus. How are you going to spend your time with him?
I think that's a great question. I think I'd invite him in, ask him if he wants a cup of coffee. And then see if he'd like to go on a hike, and we'd just walk and talk. And if we, just spend time with him and learn from him and see what he wants to teach me and tell me. And then if we have more time after that, then maybe go down to, there's a ministry called Family Promise in town that I'm involved in, where they work with homeless families, and just take him down there and see what he thinks or does.
Yeah, no, he can do a lot of good there, I think. So that sounds like a good day. All right, fun segment question number two. If you could, go to church with any other guy, living or dead, famous or not, you could have known him or not known him, wanted to know him, but you're going to church and you're going to go with another guy, who are you going to bring?
I'm going to go with St. Paul. I think he might shed some real light on what the scriptures really mean.
Right. Well, he wrote half of them, right?
But if there is another person, it would be Mahatma Gandhi. Mm. And the reason there is, I know at one point he wanted to become a Christian, but due to prejudice, he didn't. And so I would just like his take on things.
Yeah. Was it Gandhi who said, I could be misattributing this quote, but was it Gandhi who said something to the effect of, I'm quite fond of Jesus Christ, or I'm quite fond of Christ. It's Christians I have a problem with, or something like that.
Yeah,
I think there was something to that effect.
He did say something to that effect, yes.
Yeah. Well, we do a good job. Us humans do a good job of wrecking stuff.
messing up the good news.
Exactly. All right. So Wayne, last question. Here's the softball pitch, man. And like I said, you are loaded for bear on this one. So if you could give one piece of advice, just one though. So we can't read the whole book here, Wayne. So if you could just give one piece of advice to a younger man, way upstream, about living a humble, holy, confident life of faith, what would that one piece of advice be?
Don't define yourself by your sin or your failures. Mm. Because that's something you did or do. It's not who you really are, because your true self, your core self, is alive in Christ, and you have that light within you. You're not your sin. You're not your failures. Your life is hidden in Christ.
Ah. Amen. Wayne, that is good advice for everybody, young or old.
Ah, it is.
Thank you so much. All right. So everybody, again, it's Children of the Great Light is the name of the book, childrenofthegreatlight.com. You can go there, find all about it, get a copy of it, get this book profitable so Wayne can go give the money away. And Wayne, just want to thank you again for everything you're doing for our young and for our old as well.
Thank you, Jeff. I've enjoyed this a lot.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.